coming to you from the top of the SmartWorks Tower. Nestled between the massage parlor and donut shop in beautiful downtown Red Bluff, it's the PenPals.Buzz podcast. Need a genuine connection? This is the place to learn how a pen pal can change your life. And, oh yeah, they just happen to be in prison. But Big Steve will never judge. He's open-minded, he's a little quirky, and he's ready for another adventure. So get your postage stamps, grab a pen and paper, and get comfy for 30 minutes of pen pal pleasure. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
Yeah, another Monday is here. Hard to believe they come and go so quickly. It's the PenPals.Buzz Prison Pen Pal Podcast. I'm Big Steve. She is Daisy. She's getting set up across the studio from me. And we're very excited to bring you today an incredibly inspirational inmate who has endured a lot of poor treatment from the justice, quote-unquote, justice system. And his name's Trent Bududa, and he's going to be here in a few minutes to tell his story. Even if you're not in prison, you can learn so much from the insights that he has to share with us today. I'm excited to talk to him. He should be calling in a few minutes. When he does, we're going to patch him right through. I'm going to tell you a little bit about him before he calls in, and then I'm going to really let him just tell his story. You know, let's just put it bluntly. This guy got sentenced to over 16 years in prison for selling 1 ounce of marijuana in Arizona. And you might think that's probably not true. I'm probably lying to you. But I'm not. And the way he was arrested is just, it's sickening. It's sickening to anyone that loves America, anyone that cares about due process of law, anyone that preaches equity and equality and fairness, which are such big buzzwords now in 2024. Anyone that thinks that judges can be fair, that the system can be even slightly fair. Because let me tell you how this guy was caught. I'm going to give you just a brief run. I don't want to spoil his story. He says it so much more eloquently than I ever could. But Trent Bududa, he's 21 years old, and he has a 3-month-old child that he's taking care of. He's working full-time doing customer service. He's constantly working, busy. He's tired. And one night, he's off work, and he wants to go get some sodas at the 7-Eleven that was near his apartment. He walks into the 7-Eleven parking lot, and there's another black man there. Trent himself is also black. And he sees this black man standing next to a car, and he calls him over. And he tells Trent that he works at a pawn shop, and he's looking for people that might be able to bring him merchandise. And he asks for things like radios or computer electronic equipment, telephones. And Trent's like, oh, yeah, I might be able to help you out. I might have a phone. I might have a stereo I could sell you for $10 or whatever. Because he's, at the time, Trent's feeling like this guy, he's an entrepreneur. He's trying to start this pawn shop. And he wants to help him out. And Trent's thinking, I could use a little extra cash because I've got some stuff laying around the house or whatever. So he brings him, you know, a radio. He brings him a computer. And this goes on for weeks and weeks. And then at some point, the guy says, do you know where I could get marijuana because I had a medical marijuana card, but it expired. And I'm just trying to get a little bit, maybe like a half ounce, a quarter ounce. I mean, that's like nothing. What's that for one cigarette? And Trent's like, oh, I don't know. You sure you had the card? He made him show him the card. Yeah, you're okay. I can get you a little bit. Over the course of weeks and weeks, Trent mixed in with all these other products that he's bringing this quote-unquote supposed pawn shop owner, brings him a little bit of marijuana. Now, it totaled, in all of these transactions, it totaled 1 ounce. 1 ounce. And Trent's thinking this guy's his friend, right? They're texting. They're getting to know each other. They're asking about each other's family life. I'll let him tell you how the rest of that played out. But that's just how unfair this is. And the fact that they would have an undercover officer spend months outside of a 7-Eleven to bust somebody for selling an ounce of marijuana, you'd think I'm lying to you. I'm not lying to you. And what makes me even more angry about all this is that I was recently in Lake Tahoe. For those of you who don't know, it's a very liberal, interestingly enough, a liberal place, But it's also a beautiful place to vacation. Beautiful Blue Lake. I was there with my wife. We spent a few nights in a nice hotel, and we went out on the lake, and we did some jet skiing, and we went to the casinos, and it was a great vacation, except we got really thirsty because there's a high elevation. The air seemed really dry. You know, your skin, your eyes, your nose, your mouth gets really dry. And we went out looking for bottled water, and we went to a couple stores. They had everything else. They had bottled sodas. They had bottled Gatorade. They even had some of the bottled seltzer, but there was no bottled water. And it was like, this is weird. It was right after the 4th of July, so we were thinking maybe the tourists came in and bought all the water. They were out of stock. And we're looking around. We go to another store. We can't find any bottled water. And a lady comes up to us, and she's like, oh, they're not going to, you can't get bottled water here. It's illegal here in Lake Tahoe. You're not going to find bottled water. Like looking at us like we were stupid, right? And she said, you have to go to Nevada to get the bottled water, which was, fortunately, it was only a couple blocks up the road. Going to Nevada, then there's all the bottled water you want, because they have a ban on bottled water in Lake Tahoe because of the environmental problems with plastic. It's okay. I found it odd. You can have bottled Mountain Dew. You can have bottled Diet Pepsi, which is also plastic, but bottled water, oh no. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that every other block in Lake Tahoe, they were selling marijuana legally in stores up and down the street. Every other block you could find a dispensary. And you're going to be buying a lot more than an ounce. Daisy, can you patch this through to Trent Buddha's prison? He's in Arizona there. ASPC Tucson. Santa Rita unit. Can we get his cell? He's in like a room with it. Yeah, he's in like a... Let's patch this right through. It's great. We can sometimes take over the day room speaker.
Attention on the unit. Will inmate Trent Buddha, inmate number 255920, please call the Prison Pen Pal podcast. Thank you.
I don't know. Did that work? I got a little distracted, but the point I was trying to make is that as a child, I grew up being told by adults all the time, just say no to drugs, just say no to drugs. Nancy Reagan, right? Just say no. And then you also heard, make sure you drink plenty of water. Make sure you have at least 8 glasses of water. And so now, water is illegal to buy, but drugs are readily available. And Trent Buddha is doing over 16 years for 1 ounce of something that a huge number of Americans now use on a regular basis, and something that's legal in so many states, completely legal. I could understand if he got a ticket, if he got 30 days, 10 days, a slap on the wrist, don't do it again, right? But give me a freaking break, over 16 years. And then they even came out and passed a bill that would overturn these small amount of marijuana sale convictions. They came out. Somebody got that passed, and it was great. But for whatever reason, the judge, I don't know if it's because Trent was black. I don't know if it's Trent because he had a prior when he was a child or whatever the case was. The judge like, no, that doesn't apply in this case. We're going to stick with that 16 and 3 month sentence for 1 ounce of marijuana. And we don't care that he has a 3-month-old child or that he's a full-time employee at the customer service facility where he worked. We don't care. We don't care about any of that. Let's just destroy his life, and let's find a way to say it's not because we're racist or we're prejudiced, and it's not because the system's bad. It's just because we really think you deserve to get 16 years for selling an ounce of marijuana. Yeah, we just think that that's what you deserve, Trent. Now, before we connect with Trent, I just want to briefly say hi to our friends at Sunday Night Slow Jams, incredible radio show hosted by R-Dub, who's been doing the show for over 30 years and does something that no other radio show does, which is essentially connecting inmates and their loved ones. For 30 years, people listen to the show on Sunday night. They call in with something called oral expressions, which back in our day, which is dedications where they can express their love and their feelings. They get a lot of calls from family and friends of inmates. They get some calls from inmates themselves. It's a heartfelt show. It's doing great things to bring people together, and that's similar to what we're trying to do here at penpals.buzz. So I just want to recommend anyone who hasn't heard Sunday Night Slow Jams, there might be a few of you out there that haven't heard of it, check and see on Sunday night if it's on the radio in your location. They've got over 200 radio stations in the U.S. that play the show every Sunday night. And I mean, this thing's worldwide also. Millions and millions of listeners. I think you should be one of them. And you'll hear some pretty touching stories from family members of inmates who are waiting often years, often decades for their loved ones to come home. All right, looks like Trent's finally calling through here. Daisy, let's patch him through to the system here. We'll probably hear that recording. Let's see, the penpals.buzz podcast. Hi there.
State Prison Complex, Tucson.
This call is not private. It will be recorded and may be monitored. You may start the conversation now.
Yeah, hey, Steve and Daisy, can you hear me all right?
I can, yeah, it sounds good.
Perfect.
We process hundreds of profiles each and every month, and we see a lot of really unfair and very interesting stories. I know when Daisy and I were looking at your story, it really stood out to us. Trent Budada is here with us all the way from Arizona. How are you?
Yo, I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing today?
Oh, we're doing great. We're so glad that you could be here just because we want to shed light to a lot of the injustice going on in the world and what they call the justice system, and also let people get to know you a little more.
Right.
I mean, just briefly, I was reading a Phoenix Times story, and the headline said how a South Phoenix kid got 16 years in the slammer for 1 ounce of weed. And Daisy and I, we both, you saw that too, Daisy.
Yeah.
There's like, there's no way. That's
that
not possible.
Insane.
Totally
that
insane.
Right.
And
right,
and we said
right.
there has to be more to the story. So like she starts Googling and I start looking, and there's like really not much more to the story. I mean, that was the story, which people wouldn't even believe it unless they
right.
experienced it. So I just was hoping you could share kind of your perspective.
Okay. Well, yeah, like you said, I was 16.25 years, actually, at 2.5 on there as
Man.
Well. So
that's horrible.
So I did get that for sales of 1 ounce of marijuana. Yeah, that's pretty much the sum of it. I did have some priors that they used against me. So I was given 11.25 years for the marijuana and a consecutive 5 on top of that for some priors that I had as a juvenile. Actually, I was a juvenile charged as an adult, and I had did 5 years in prison previously and was given an additional 5 years for my probation tail. And since at the time of alleged crime, quote-unquote crime, I was on probation, so I was given that extra 5 years consecutively on top.
Your quote-unquote crime is what, I mean, these days it's pretty much legal wherever you go, what they gave you 16.25 years for. And I think that's what should really, like, blow people away. And then what Daisy pointed out, like, didn't you say, Daisy, it's not even, it was, like, over multiple periods.
Yeah, so that's insane that they convict you based off of that.
It wasn't even, like, one, it was, like, a quarter of an ounce here and a little bit there. And
yeah.
Yeah, so it was 4 quarter ounces over the span of about 3 or 4 months, and it wasn't until about 8 months that I was actually arrested. 8 months after the quote unquote that I was arrested for, they came and got me from my place of work. I was working at a call center in Tempe, and I was going on my lunch break. My son's mother had actually just given birth to our child. He was about 3 months at the time, so he was ready to go back to work. And I got him called to take her to a job interview, and I never made it. As soon as I got in my car, backing up to head outside of the parking lot, and 2 U.S. Marshals pulled up on me and asked me, hey, are you in Budada? And I'm like, yes, why? And they were like, oh, we have a warrant out for your arrest. And I'm clueless at the time because, like I said, at the time I'm going to school, I'm working, taking care of my newborn son who's 3 months at the time, and I'm not thinking I have a warrant for my arrest or anything. So come to find out, when I get to the police station, I get told the charges, four counts of transportation of marijuana. I'm still clueless about what this is about. I end up going through processing at 4th Avenue, and the whole time I'm in there for 10 days before I get bonded out, and I'm still not knowing what it's about. And it wasn't after I get bonded out and speak with the pro bono attorney that was assigned to my case that I actually found out it was for an individual who I knew who had a expired medical card. So even at the time, I'm still not knowing, like, an expired medical card. Like, what is this about? Mm. And I finally get the paperwork, and it comes to find out this guy from almost a year ago was a cover officer.
There's some guy, and he's standing. It was a 7-Eleven, is that right?
Yeah.
Or some sort of convenience store. And there's some guy basically baits you into this whole thing. The whole thing is sick to me. And now, how long have you been incarcerated?
Right. So I've been incarcerated now for almost 8 years. Like I said, I was arrested in 2016. I was bonded out. I was ultimately found guilty. I went to trial 3 times. And that's the other thing, oh, too. Wow. They offered me a plea. The plea that they were trying to offer me was 10 years, right?
Oh, wow.
So they said they could open it up from 6.5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. You know what I mean? Like, the presumption,
yeah.
The presumption was 6.5, and I'll be looking at somewhere in the middle. So I'm like, hey, no, I'm not going to agree to go to prison for something this small, you know what I mean? For this amount of time, like, that's a substantial amount of time out of my life, especially for where I was at and what I was doing and how I was involved in my community.
So I have a question in the midst of all this. And I mean, it sucks that they didn't use their resources, those undercovers, to go after people that are really out there that need to get taken down. And it's sad, you know, that they wasted all that, you know, time, resources just to lock you up for that. So how do you keep a positive mindset being in there? Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're housed with murderers or, you know, people that have done some serious things.
The main thing that keeps me going is, for one, my son. For it's just not about me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, everything I do is based on legacy. And I'm a very spiritual being. So, like, even in scriptures, when it talks about you'll pay for the sins of your forefathers, like, the way that I interpret that is, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do in this lifetime, those people that will come after me will basically reap what I've been sowing in my lifetime. So I have to make sure that I set a positive example and set those ones up after me for success in any way that I can. Like, that's something that's very crucial and critical to me, for one. And then for two, just knowing that the system that I'm dealing with, for one, it's a corporation, so there's money involved. A lot of people that are in positions in this corporation don't see the side of humanity and the individuals for who they are. They just want to know, hey, did this happen? Like, it's kind of cut and dry, black and white, you know what I mean? Like, even when I went to trial, like I said, I went to trial 3 times. I had 2 mistrials. And when you're doing jury selection, like, they're not even aware of how much time you're facing for the alleged crime.
Yeah, they probably assume it was like 6 months. That's what I would assume, or 3 months.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, how many black jurors did you have there in Arizona?
Honestly, I don't even remember. Like I said, I went to trial 3 times on this, so I can remember it. It wasn't a lot. Out of those 3 times, like, the one, the trial that the jury that actually convicted me. Honestly, I don't remember if there was one on there or not.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what, Steve? That's something that I've never really, like, tried to. How do I put it? That's something I never really tried to, like, pull the race card on the situation. Like, I do know racism is alive. Like, everybody knows that. But I see it from a different standpoint. I look at everything from the spiritual, you know what I mean? So it's like, I believe that the Most High, that God, is preserving me through this situation for a reason. And that reason has been the work that I've been doing here through my incarceration, through my journey, you know what I mean, in different holy text, they talk about certain prophets going to the desert. This is my time in the desert right now, where I can have solitude and just work on myself and become a better individual and add value to myself, so I can have a better presentation of myself to give to the people around me. Like, there's a lot of people in this situation that have lost hope and that need that encouragement and motivation just to make it day by day. You know what I mean? I'm a GED peer-to-peer facilitator, so there's a lot of guys that are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old that don't even have a basic level of education, and some of them want it, but they just lack the motivation. So I'm glad that I can be that source of light and positive energy and life to help them achieve those type of things while they're here.
That's incredible. How long have you been doing the GED?
So they actually brought a pilot program to the facility that I'm at now, and I was hand-selected to do this position just because of the reputation and credibility that I've built for myself over the years. So I've been doing it now for about 3 years, and it's very fulfilling and rewarding the work that I can do, because even though this situation is very unfortunate, there's a lot of things that I've done in my past that I'm not proud of, as we all are. And for me to do this type of work and be able to help individuals, it's very rewarding and very fulfilling to know that I can be a positive source of energy in somebody's life that lacks that resource.
Yeah, it gives you something to wake up for every morning, for sure. And then when you do get released, hopefully it's not too much longer, you'll be able to continue. Right. You can do that when you're out on the streets too. I don't know anybody. I don't know about you, Daisy. I can't think of anyone that I know in the system or not that could have that kind of a positive attitude going through this.
It's hard, especially for that charge.
I probably would have punched a couple of walls.
And you know what? Like, in the beginning, I was very upset, and I had a pessimistic outlook at people in a position of authority. Like, damn, how am I getting locked up for this? And I was comparing my situation to other situations. That's why I said I have to look at it from a different perspective, because I have to walk in my journey and continue doing my life and not paying attention or comparing my life to the next. So, yeah, it was definitely rough in the beginning, and I'm still facing trials and tribulations and adversity. But ultimately, if I would have got 2 years, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. Honestly, I wouldn't be. So I look at this situation as an opportunity to work on myself to be better. Yeah, does it suck? Yeah, of course it does. Do I miss my family? Of course I do. But while I'm here, I'm continuing to add value to myself so I can be better for those around me.
You've made us speechless here. You really have. It's so inspiring. It's just so inspiring. Daisy's never speechless. Neither am I. None of us are speechless, but we're like, man, I don't even know.
It sucks. You would think they would waste their time, you know, getting a bigger fish, or like people that are really out here hurting other people. And they waste all this time and resources to lock someone like you up. And it's just, it's a bad situation.
You can't compare it to others, like you said, because I know I was in there 11 years, Trent, and just to be blunt, there was idiot after idiot after idiot that was getting released before I was. And, you know, at some point you think, how did this freaking moron, how did they let him out? You know, but then at some point it just doesn't matter, because you can't change any of that.
And I was going to say, it's taken me some time to cultivate this mindset. Well, I don't say mindset that I have, the mind that I have, because I'm real particular about my words. So I have a lot of individuals here that ask me, hey, how are you like that? I'm like, what do you mean, how am I like that? Like, how did you develop the way that you think? I'm like, hey, first off, I'm 31 years old, so it didn't happen overnight. And for two, I'm a person that learns from life experiences and the life experiences of others. If I see an outcome happen to an individual that I don't want for myself, I'm going to look at that situation and be like, hey, I don't want that, so I'm not going to follow what that person did. And the same goes for myself. If I go through a situation and I don't like the outcome of it, I'm going to learn from it, and I'm going to do everything I can to turn that negative into a positive. That's just who I've always been. But now I just believe it's been maximized because there's nothing else literally for me to do here but to help myself so I can help others. That's literally all I can do. Of course, there's temptation, and we always have choices, but the lens that I'm looking through right now, like, I feel like this is my purpose to work on me so I can help other people.
Who, you've been on penpals.buzz now for a while, and Daisy jokes with me because we get some guys that sign up and they say, like, what, like, I want someone who's 19 and a half and years old and
this race, this height, this weight, and that's kind of hard when you're asking for all that. Yeah,
they have to have, you know, blonde hair, and they have to, you know, they have to like sci-fi, and then it's like, well, it might be tough, but who ultimately, as you're doing your thing there and waiting for the time and helping people and helping yourself, who would you like to write ideally? If people, I'm sure people are hearing this and they're thinking, man, this guy sounds amazing.
As long as they're willing to work on themselves and want something better for themselves, because I believe that everything is about communication and everything's about relationships. So it's about who you have in your life that matters essentially to what decisions that you're going to make. People have influence over that. Regardless of race, ethnicity, or religion, or even gender, I'm not opposed to speaking with anybody that is willing to reach out. They may need a source of inspiration or hope or motivation, and I don't have a problem being that. I am looking forward to meeting individuals who are resourceful and who are contributing to society in a way.
Everyone thinks, oh, pen pals, it helps the inmates so much. It's so good for the inmates. But so many times, I think it also really helps the person that is writing to the inmate, because ultimately there's some reason, something in their life, there's a reason they chose to write to an inmate to start with. And a lot of times I think, you know, inmates can really help them see things in a different perspective, maybe realize that the fact they didn't get ketchup in their McDonald's bag isn't the worst thing that happened in their life. You know, a lot of the people these days, it's just, they're so dramatic about things, and maybe they can, you know, get to know somebody like you and totally change their thinking. That's our hope, at least. That's our hope, because penpals.buzz, we don't like to think of it. We don't like to think of it as like Tinder, where you're just like, oh, that guy's hot, swipe left or right.
Yeah.
You know,
everyone
that's on our site, they have a story. There's something, there's a reason they are where they are. There's substance to every single person, and I'm hoping that people can see past the six-pack abs or whatever it may be, and actually want to get to know somebody on a deeper level. So before we let you go, can you just give out your mailing address and your info on Securus so we can make sure people can find you?
Okay, yeah. So I'm located in Arizona State Prison Complex, Tucson. The unit is Santa Rita, P.O. Box 24401, Tucson, Arizona, 85734. And you can reach out to me on the Securus app by looking me up under my name and DOC number. That's Trent Buhdida, TRENTBOUHDIDA. My DOC number is 255920. And just look me up on the Securus app, and you can download e-messaging or direct connect. I believe that's what it's called. It's like an instant messaging service. That's it.
You have a petition on change.org that I saw, and I don't know if there's anything else you have, but there was 894 signatures, and it said they need 1,000 for the next step of something.
The change.org position is actually a petition giving a little backstory about my situation and
you have 1 minute
who
left.
I am as an individual and what type of things I was involved in before my incarceration, during, and some of my plans for after. And this petition can potentially get in front of some individuals in my state that have the authority to get me released, essentially. So that's something that me and my support group have been pushing for a while now.
I want to see if this works, Trent. Just bear with me one second because I've always wanted to try this.
Okay. You have 1 minute left.
Oh, gosh, I was going to do it. Here we go.
You have 1 minute left. Okay.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much, Trent Budeda.
All right, thank you.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve. But he'll be back Monday with another edition of the PenPals.Buzz podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.Buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.